As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hear that podcast growling, mean and angry. Hear that vocal shouting, it's Danger and Jay. It's Danger and Jay.
All right, welcome to the latest edition to Hear That Podcast. Growl and Paul Eder Jr. and Jay Morrison of The Athletic here with you on the walkout on a day we're here at Acrisure Stadium. The Bengals beat the Steelers 37-30. Because this is what you thought, Jay. Yes. Came into this game and you thought definitely 67 points between these two, and you got to feel like Samaje Perine and Trenton Irwin are really going to be probably the game changers in this one. And yeah, it all makes sense to me. I don't see how we didn't see this one coming.
That, and it's just amazing that we're hearing words like comfortable and easy in the post-game press conference about how certain elements of this game played out. Zach Taylor said that the play calling was easy at times because Burrow got into such a rhythm and this offense just kind of exploded with these backups in there. And it was not a surprise that they won, but everything else about today was pretty surprising. And if you're a fan, and if you're listening to this, you probably are a fan, very, very encouraging.
Yeah, you know what? You said it. There's a lot of things happened that usually lead to losses. We saw some sacks. We saw turnovers. They had not won a game this year. They were 0-3 in games with Joe Burrow. Throws an interception. He throws two in this game, including another TJ Watt superhuman thing that I don't think anybody even believes what they just saw, including Joe Burrow. It was nasty. It was cold. Their defense played like trash in the first half. They were down at halftime. They were being put in tough spots over and over again. A lot was put on to Drew Chrisman in some spots in his debut for the punter. And they were backed up deep in their own end, having to make long drives. And they did it. And they did it. They kept finding ways to win. They moved the ball. Joe Burrow is playing his face off right now. That's what this is about.
Yeah.
The Bengals are missing a lot. There's no Chase. Joe Mixon goes off with a concussion. All these things that were kind of going wrong around him. But it don't matter because Burrow's good right now. Even on a day where he had those two picks off tip passes, he is just on one where he can – T. Higgins is turning into number one receiver when he needs it. Tyler Boyd shows up when he needs it in the clutch after quarters of not being there. Three to Perine, Trenton Irwin. There's a trust level with everyone. And there is an energy that showed up in Joe Burrow today that we saw more in full today than we had seen all year. You can just watch it off the Bengals social media account.
Yeah.
A big old LFG and a we the big dogs. You know, he said after the game, this is one of my favorite wins since I've been here. He doesn't say that all the time. It's because he knows. He feels it. You can see him feeling it. This team has something going on about them, and he knows he's cooking, and he knows they've got the pieces to make a real run as they get ready to hit the absolute grinder of a schedule that they have down the stretch.
And yeah, that's just it. It was not only what he did, it was what this meant. I mean, this was a gotta have it game. You're 0-3 in the division. They go on the road. Everybody knows what the Steelers, this has been a house of horrors for this team in the past. And yeah, to come in here and play like that, coming off the bye and really kind of putting the rest of the league on notice that, this team, no matter what weapons are out, still has a shot to go on a run like they did last year, as long as Nine is throwing the ball the way he did last year after the bye.
And he seems to be, and I really marvel sometimes at kind of what we're seeing from him, because I wrote about his evolution this week, and they talked a lot about just understanding when to make the big play, understanding how to keep yourself out of the negatives. And there was some negatives today, and there was some of the turnovers, but he said something after the game, sometimes checkdowns turn into touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And look what happened on pretty much every one of those Samaje Perine touchdowns. Yeah. They checked it down to him. He gave him a chance. He made a guy miss and kept scoring touchdowns at the pylon, or they get the long screen where they had the line out there in front, Cordell Volson, yeah. Stanley Morgan, all out there, Trenton Irwin, way downfield, making plays. And, you know, going around the locker room after the game, what you got and what I sensed, and Jay, I don't know, we were in different conversations, obviously, working on different sides, but how everyone is really feeding off of the way Burrow's playing right now. Like, this whole team has a real confident feel, and they feel like they're really hitting something good. And it really does. Oh, it always goes back to just how well he's playing and how well they know, how much they know that they can go win a game because of him being who he is right now. I think this is the best run of his career, this stretch here, especially when you consider the pieces he's missing right now.
I mean, since 2000, the Bengals had three drives of 92 yards or more against the Steelers. They did it twice tonight, and a 92 and a 93. And I was asking people, because I was thinking, you know, maybe there was something said. The 93 one is the one that really put the game away. They're up by 4, 9.5 minutes to go. If things don't go well there, they're punting out of their own end zone with the Steelers with a chance to go down and take the lead. I was wondering if, you know, Burrow said anything, if there was any kind of message. And everybody's like, no, it was pretty much business as usual. You know that Joe's locked in, and we know that if Joe is back there directing things, we're going to be fine. It was more than fine. Those two drives, the 92 and the 93-yard touchdown drive, on those marches, Joe Burrow, 11 of 11 for 159 yards. They faced one third down. Those two drives took 18 plays. Only one got the third down, and he hits a huge pass to T. Higgins on that lone third down. It was easy. I mean, football's never easy, but Joe Burrow is making it look easy.
This is not the Steelers defense that, you know, kind of had their legs cut out from at times last year. They didn't have the weapons to keep up. They were banged up, missing people. They had everybody back. And a big deal was made about how they had everybody back. And a big deal was made about how they're finding themselves in this defense with Watt now and with Minka playing. And they can have KZ in there now too. The first time they're kind of all there together, and Hayward has what it really felt like. This the Steelers really felt that this is really their defense, okay? That they expected to have all year that could carry a rookie quarterback. Well, it got diced.
Yeah.
It got diced up. I mean, that 92-yard drive, in the big picture of the season, you know, you're up by four, you're under your own goalposts late in the game, and to go all the way down the field with ease and finish it off, to put this game away and send everybody home, that's a critical drive in the big picture of the season that really feels like a tone setter, because This is the way that, you know, and I've even wrote about not hearkening back to last year, but like, this is the way they won games last year. This is the way they have to win games, games that feel like this, games that get into the clutch moments. What did we see in clutch moments this year? Failure. We'd seen losses. We'd seen them not make the final play. Well, today it was him and his Bengals team in a game that was close to the end, making the big plays when they had to do it. Now, this is not who they're going to face the rest of the way out. You know, they are about to play five of the top six current seeds in the AFC. That is who's in front of them on the schedule. And so they're going to go to Tennessee next week, and it's not going to be – Ryan Tannehill's not going to be like Kenny Pickett. Their offense is going to have a lot more juice, and they're going to have a defense that's probably better if you know, than this one that they faced today. And Patrick Mahomes is not going to miss the throws that Kenny Pickett missed all in the second half, nor is Josh Allen or Deshaun Watson. And the, you know,
Tom Brady.
So that's just it. And I think that's where we look at this game and compartmentalize a little bit, like the energy and the confidence this team has playing the way that they are. You know, they lead the NFL the last 5 weeks, 3.02 points per drive, easily best in the league. They're killing it on offense. The concern is this what it's going to have to look like? 37-30. How many shootouts can you win when the quarterback's on the other side of the guys we just mentioned? Because what was happening in the first half is a major note of concern. Miscommunications on defense, leaving dudes wide open, not getting enough pressure. It changed late. They came out in the second half and fixed it. But this was a day where I do think there's a lot to be made of the issues they had in the first half. I talked to Jesse Bates about it after the game, and he was clear. It is a big deal. It's a huge deal getting the communication better, getting it figured out, because it wasn't good enough in the first half. And they did button it up after that. But we'll see how much carryover of that first half shows up as the Bengals go forward.
I mean, it is nice to have that buffer, to know that you've got a quarterback like Joe Burrow, an offense like that can make up for it. But you're right. That is not an explosive offense, the Steelers. And they were hitting big chunk plays, and it was guys wide open, and it was you could see how scrambled the Bengals defense looked at times pre-snap. They're running around trying to get lined up, and guys going, Eli Apple ran with the wrong receiver on the one that ended up being the long touchdown pass to Pickens. Part of that's losing Awuzie. Part of that is the young guy, the CTB, is in there. But they've got to get that figured out, because you feel comfortable that you can win shootouts, but that's not sustainable. You can't do that week in, week out, especially when the people shooting on the other side are as impressive as a Mahomes and a Josh Allen and a Tom Brady and all these ones that they've got coming up.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The Steelers, I mean, had gone 8 straight games without scoring more than 20 points at all, and they hadn't in regulation scored more than 20 points all year. That was tied for their longest stretch in franchise history since the merger. They didn't have a touchdown longer than 10 yards all season, and they had 2 today. And that's a concern. All of that stuff is stuff that needs to get buttoned up, but credit them. You know, they did come out in the second half. 4 consecutive 3-and-outs, and suddenly at that point the Bengals had taken back over a lot of control of this game. There's a special team side of this that I want to touch on too. So we have the Chrisman debut today, and I thought he did pretty well. And the thought, I think the thought had this whole time is they had Kevin Huber inactive. They promoted Chrisman from the practice squad of, okay, here's your chance, Drew. Go play well. And it feels like the job is certainly going to be his. And then they can make the move on Kevin Huber. And I think he did. You know, the biggest one was punting from back in his own end. And he didn't hit it super well. But it did end up a 42-yard net because it was a fair catch. Not in the list of things that could have gone wrong down there, it's not all that bad. That goes back to something that Darren Simmons talked about with us about making this move, is that when you're younger and have the bigger leg, there's just the margin for error isn't so thin.
Right.
If you don't hit one great, you can still get a 42-yarder out of it. That's almost proving the point that Chrisman is the guy as much as anything, because the miss hit still gets you 42 and a fair catch in a big spot from your own end zone. That's important. So I thought he punted pretty well and handled everything pretty well. And he had a couple of bombs, including the one that got muffed and another one that ended up pinning them deep in their own end.
Both of them pinned Pittsburgh inside their 10. The defense does what they're supposed to do and forces a punt right back. And the Bengals flipped the field that quickly. And both of those ended up being scoring drives.
Yeah.
Chrisman had a 57 and a 50-yarder. The 50-yarder was the one you mentioned that got muffed, went back in the end zone, and the returner was able to bring it out. But yeah, I thought he did really, really well. And it was not ideal circumstances to be kicking a football tonight. It was cold. It was windy. That thing had to have felt like a rock. And he and Evan McPherson both plowed through it.
That's where I want to go next. So it's a one-point game. It's in the second half. Burrow takes a sack on third down where you just can't, on the edge of field goal range. And McPherson has to come out, and it ends up being – it's from 54. We were watching, whether in pregame, you know, guys are struggling to get the ball there from spots you normally see. Their guy had one short from 45 at one point. But, I mean, watch the kickoffs. Nothing was getting to the end zone today. Yeah. It is so cold. The ball is just not traveling. This field is a total disaster. It is a train wreck out there. Guys are falling and slipping on almost every single play. You have a guy. McPherson really in his first mini slump, right? Is Evan okay was kind of what's been the conversation the last couple of weeks. Everybody says, yeah, he should be fine. He's got his new holder.
Yeah.
He's in this mini slump. He's in this cold game. The ball's not traveling.
Crap field.
Everything about it is a tough spot. And he buries it from 54. To go to from a one-point game in a game they have to have on the road to a four-point game. Stakes are high. I think that was the most impressive all-around kick of Evan McPherson's career. And this is the dude that had the 52 to send him to the AFC title game and a kick to send him to the Super Bowl. Those meant everything. They meant more. Mm. But this total circumstances around this.
Yeah.
That's as impressive as it gets. And it was a huge play in the game because it allowed that long touchdown to put it away.
Yeah. And like you said, that Burrow took that sack. I mean, nobody asked Zach about it because there was more important things to get to in the postgame press conference. But I wonder how much reservation he had about sending McPherson out for that kick because of what we saw in pregame. And I didn't think it was getting there. It's really hard from our angle, but it looked like it was going to fall short. And then all of a sudden you see it go, it went into get barely over the crossbar, but it was not a typical ripple the net kick from McPherson, even from that distance. And it was like Evan kind of did the Joe Burrow relax thing without saying relax. I mean, everybody was asking him about it before the bye. What's going on? And he's like, I'm going to be fine. There's nothing to worry about. I'm going to go take a break, play some golf, be fine when I come back. And that was more than fine what he did tonight.
Yeah. So it was special teams plays a big role in it. They had some nice returns from Travion Williams. Mm-hmm. And again, I mean, the names we're talking about, Pirine and Irwin and Travion Williams. I mean, this is just – it really was kind of a testament a little bit to the depth of their roster in winning this game. And that certainly goes a long way. You know, the other thing was I think the method in which they won resonated tonight, and it resonated with the coaches. It resonated with the players. Just this is what it's going to look like, and this is what it has to look like. And for them to do that here, and again, it's Pittsburgh. Like, they're not very good. They have a rookie quarterback who's, you know, in the second half looked every bit a rookie, and was rattled. But that said, you know, this was the type of game they had to go have when they had to have it. And that seemed more than most to matter and leave an imprint on everybody in that locker room tonight.
You know, the weirdest thing about this game, Lael Collins had more tackles than DJ Reader. We talked about DJ Reader is nowhere on the stat sheet. And that's not to say he played a bad game. That's kind of who he is, where he eats up space in the middle. But we thought he was going to be the big difference maker. And it was his first game back off of the IR. And even though he wasn't the typical DJ Reader that you see, that they did a good job against the run. I think Najee got out for one kind of long one, maybe 20 some yards. But they did. Especially in the second half, and when they turned Pittsburgh into they kind of did away with the run game once they built that lead, and they had to drop Pickett back over and over again, and they did start getting the pressure. Hubbard and Hendrickson both got home for sacks. It was just – there was a lot of weird stuff that you don't normally see from a Bengals-Steelers game here, including a Bengals win. This is a hard – they've had trouble winning here in the past, and – I think any win here would have made that locker room feel good. But you're right. The way that they won this game, I really do think resonates and can build some momentum going forward.
Yeah, and the line only gives up two sacks. One of them was Joe Burrow inventing a QB draw play on the spot, according to Zach Taylor, essentially. So that wouldn't be on the line. And certainly there were pressures, and he took a few hits. But for the most part, and Burrow pointed out, Collins and Williams in particular both were left on an island a lot. They didn't give him a ton of help, and they really held up. He specifically talked about Jonah Williams having a really great game out there by himself. And that goes a long way. A guy who's been embattled a little bit and struggling, for him to have a game like this against a guy that handed him his lunch a little bit in the opener, I think means a lot and goes a long way to building some confidence there as well. All right, Bengals now go to Tennessee next, a very good Tennessee team that is hot, that has a great defense, and everybody knows what their running game is with Derrick Henry and how pissed off they're going to be about the team that eliminated them coming back to their house again. So another big one, and all big ones at this point now. You're earning every single one, but I feel this was the last one that was sort of you can't afford to lose to a team you should beat. And now you're 6-4, and you have a 7-game stretch where you got to go find a way to go 4-3 to get you in, and that should probably be enough. But considering the opponents, that's a tall order. But the good news for them is their quarterback's number 9. And he is smoking right now. And so they're going to continue to ride that and that confidence they go through. We are hitting Thanksgiving week. So we're going to have one episode for you. I'm taking vacation during the week here. I'll be back for the game on Sunday, but kind of taking the Thanksgiving week, going to see some family. So we're going to give you one version of the podcast. But Jay's got you covered, of course, all of our stuff during the week. And then we'll be back to you then after that. So from Pittsburgh, on a day where the Bengals win 37-30, moved to 6-4 on the year, we are signing off. We will talk to you next time. Have a good one, everybody.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.